glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
We welcome back to the microphone John Walsh. He is our frequent friend here on Mark and Friends, because he has just been used of God on so many levels, and I'm just learning half of those levels as I dig into his website and find out what other ministries he's involved in. Last time we learned about an incredible resource that he's made available to anyone, churches. It's a story of the day you can have downloaded. Lots of great resources, just free, wonderful background information. John can be the one to be your storyteller in your church every Sunday. Beautiful, in-depth stories, Old and New Testament. So that's available, BibleTelling.org or BT Stories. And so today we're going to learn about another resource, John, I'm just coming to be acquainted with. Your heart is for helping people learn to read using Bible stories.
It's good to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, so great to have you back. Tell us about Language Olympics.
Well, Language Olympics, a little bit of a background there. We were we're using Bible telling in prisons, and we were in a large state prison down in Louisiana, and the warden talked to me one day and somehow was convinced that we could help him with a problem. And that was that 80% of men prisoners can't read at all. And it's the one thing, if they get out of prison without learning to read, 9 out of 10 will come back. Mm. But if they teach him to read, only 3 out of 10 will come back. So it's a major problem. And so every prison has a learning to read program, but it's in a group setting and it doesn't work very well. People who don't know how to read don't think they ever can learn to read. And so it was just very, very difficult. And so we took this on as a challenge, and we developed with using Bible stories to teach a one-on-one learning to read program, which totally changed that situation. Now prisoners could learn to read, and so that's kind of the beginning of it. So it actually came out of the prison system, but it's also being used in with churches to teach people to read. Simply stated, it takes 30 Old Testament stories, and each lesson is surrounded around one of those stories. And they get the basis. They just one-on-one go through the whole thing. Well, people kept asking us when we were in this church, can you use this for teaching English as a second language? And we said, well, no, it's not designed for that, but let us work on that. So we went back to the drawing board and we redid those 30 stories and redid the whole thing and evolved it and wrapped it around the idea of teaching English as a second language. And churches can do this. They can open up without having to have a lot of degrees in this area. They can simply use this program right here to start teaching people to speak English. And Donna, the amazing thing is that the tutors that they use are not necessarily college trained or master's degree in ESL, but just people right out of the pew, that they can take them and train them, and they match them up one-on-one. And it's just an amazing thing. It's just like we say that, people can pack up and go on a missions trip and be gone for several weeks or whatever. Or another way to do it is simply one day a week, go to a special place right there in the church and get someone from another country, and they teach them to read using the Bible. And it's just an amazing opportunity. Tutors that do that, that just becomes their ministry. They just do it.
That's amazing. You say you can take it from zero reading level to grade five in less than a year. This could be used at home, schools, and churches. And like you said, it's very popular in prisons. And you're setting people free to be able to read, because if you can't, you really are in bondage.
That's right. And with the COVID and everything that's happened right there, with kids kind of falling behind, churches have found this as a real opportunity to open up their building as an after-school program where students can come in. And again, they're not put into a classroom. It's a one-on-one. So again, someone right off the pew, just someone can come in and sit with that student, and a real relationship forms between the student and the tutor. And they simply find out where they're at, and then they can systematically take them through to pull them up. And just in a short amount of time, we have seen them in just a matter of weeks, they can move right up a full grade level in their reading level.
You know, this would be a great resource, I'm thinking, for homeschool moms who really want to, you know, help their kids along. I homeschooled four of my kids, and I taught them all four to read. So, my friends, if I can do this, anybody yeah. can do it. And
yes.
it's amazing how really simple it is. I mean, once they know the basic vowels and what the letters sound like, instead of, you know, they don't read A, they read ah, you know, to the sound, it all flows. They just need encouragement. They just need time. And they just need the opportunity for someone to come alongside and say, I think you can do this. So,
and yes, that that parent can actually try it out first. They can actually go online on BibleTelling.org and find the spot where they can actually download the first lesson, which takes them through a lot of the basics. It's and they can take and it actually has a tutor's guide right there. They can read that. There's a little film they can watch that shows them exactly how to do it, and then they can take their child through the and when I say child, sometimes it could be a spouse working with their married partner who
yeah.
doesn't know how to read. And without being embarrassed and going out to some junior college and having to admit to everybody that I can't read, just in the privacy of their home, the spouse can help them using this program right here. And they can try it out and see if it works. And I can pretty well say that if they'll take them through lesson one, they'll want to get the rest of it.
So it's just another great resource that we have in our hand that uses the Bible to do
That's
something
right.
so important, to give the person the power of language and to be able to read the Bible, because that's the best gift on the planet. We're talking with John Walsh today on Mark and Friends. John is known for his Bible-telling skills. He holds a conference. He writes books. And now he's also helping people gain that literacy through his ministry. Well, John, what story have you picked for us today? Because you know you can't come on a Mark and Friends unless you tell us a story.
Well, last time I was with you, I told an Old Testament story, and I thought maybe we would
okay.
go into the New Testament. Matter of fact, we are taking a, you know, Bible telling. One of the things we do, we take people to Israel, and we tell the 100 stories where it happens in the 45 locations, but we're in this October, we're taking them to the footsteps of Paul. And so when we're over there, we will go to a place called Philippi, and this story happens at Philippi. Paul and Silas went to Philippi, and they were there for a while, and they went down to the river where the Jewish people met for prayer, and where some women would meet for prayer. And of course, this is not a part of the story, but it's just the fact that Lydia came to Christ. And so Paul and his team stayed in her home. Well, they were walking through the town. And when they were walking through the town, there was a demon-possessed girl who would tell the future for her masters. And they would get money for having her tell the future for people. And so as Paul and Silas were walking through the city, she started yelling, "This, you know, these people are from God. These people have come to us with the message of God." And this just went, and she followed them everywhere they went, and this went on and on. And finally, Paul just got so frustrated. He finally turned to her and said, "Stop. Come out of her right now in the name of Jesus." And that spirit came out of her, and she was healed from being demon-possessed. Well, her masters weren't happy about this at all, because she could no longer tell the future for her clients. And they were angry, and they pulled the two men before the town magistrates and said, "These men have come here to our town teaching things that are not right to be taught." Well, the city officials had the two of them beat, and then took them to the prison, and they were put into stocks, and they told the prison guard to watch over them. Well, that night, as it approached midnight, Paul and Silas started singing praises to God, and suddenly the earthquake came and shook the prison, and the doors fell open, and the stocks fell off of their hands. And when the prison guard saw this, he knew that they had escaped and his life would be worthless, so he grabbed his sword to fall on it and commit suicide. But Paul yelled out, "Don't do that! Don't do that! We're all here! Don't kill yourself!" With that, he grabbed a lamp and came into the prison and fell down and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He took them to his home and worked on his bandages, and there he had told them, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved as well as your household." And he presented the gospel to the whole family. They had a meal together, and he taught them the scriptures. Well, in the morning, the city officials sent word to the guard, you can let those men go now. And Paul sent a message back, says, no, we're not leaving. You took us, being Roman citizens, you took us and beat us unlawfully and put us down here. We're not going to leave unless you personally come down here and apologize and see us gone. Well, the people, the officials, when they heard that they were Roman citizens, and that was very serious to take a Roman citizen and to beat him without a trial. I mean, they themselves could have been killed. So they went rushing down the prison and said, "Sirs, please forgive us on this and please save our city." Well, they left the prison, but they went back into the city and they encouraged the believers in Christ. And then they left Philippi.
That's going to be one of the stories you're going to be telling as you walk around Turkey.
Yes, well, that's actually in Greece. And so, we'll be in what used to be called Macedonia.
That is going to be so rich. Tell us a little bit about your Turkey trip. Is it Greece and Turkey?
Yes, we're going to start in Turkey, and which is amazing that so much of the New Testament was written in Turkey, are two churches in Turkey. So we'll be there first. We'll go to the seven churches of Revelation, but we're following the footsteps of Paul. So we'll be looking at the work that he did there and finally drive on over to Greece and visiting in the upper part of Greece, and we'll fly down to Athens and Corinth and visit there. Again, telling all the stories that happen in all these different places. But in addition to that, we'll be telling some of the background of course, we'll be telling the background of each of these stories, but we'll also be telling the background of what Paul, like I like to say, Paul is like walking down in a city. Let's say he's in Ephesus, and he's walking down the street. He looks around and he sees things that he just assumes everybody knows. And of course they did. And so he's seen different things and in his epistles he refers to these things, but he doesn't explain them. So we're going to be talking about the Roman life that was going on around Paul. You know, with churches going on mission trips around the world, one of the things they could do is they could learn, they could take a group of their members who are going on the trip and have them focus on learning Bible stories. And then take that with them, whether they're building a building or working in an orphanage or whatever they're doing. One of the things they can add is telling Bible stories. And that's just, that's worldwide. There's just every person on the globe is open to listening to Bible stories. I've literally walked down the street. Let's say in Bethlehem. I was in Bethlehem, Israel, and I was just walking down the street by myself. And I thought, well, I'll just try this out. So I saw a person there, and I said, excuse me, and we talked a little bit, and I said, you know, I've got to tell some Bible stories here in a few days, and I'm wondering if I could practice one with you. Well, sure, yeah. So I stood right there, and this is a Muslim man, and I told him a Bible story. And after he was all done, he says, you know, I've never heard that. I mean, here he's in Bethlehem, and I told him a story that happened right there.
Wow.
He says, I've never heard that before. He says, my shop is just right down the road right here. Anytime you want to tell a Bible story, you just come on down to my shop. But I mention that because you, when you're going on your missions trip, if you're equipped to tell Bible stories, they will find people to listen to it. So that's something that they need to keep in mind.
Yeah, just spend time now listening to John's stories and get the gist of it, and just have that readiness, you know, be ready to give an answer for the hope that you have. And if the answer is in the form of a story, people listen. Well, thank you so much, John, again, for giving us of your time, your talent, all these wonderful resources, all sitting there waiting for people to discover. BibleTelling.org or the BTStories.org. A couple wonderful links all set up there for you to really just take Bible stories to the next level and to the next generation.
Great. Well, thank you, Donna, for having me on. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and especially to talk about Bible telling.
Sweet.